Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning, and I'd like to say I appreciated the discussion in the Sunday school time. I thought about how Paul said, he said, if Christ isn't risen, your preaching's in vain, you're yet in your sins. He said, it's no use. If Christ didn't rise, and so it's important that we realize that Christ is risen, right? We might as well, if he didn't rise, we might as well go home and wallow around in our sins. We could just cut this short this morning and go eat food, because that's all that life would be about, is fulfilling ourselves, right? And that's what we find happens when we don't have Christ in our life. It's about fulfilling ourselves. I remember Brother Solly Bolly from North Carolina. I was a young man. I was sitting in church. He came and had a revival meeting for us. He was a short man. And he was a funny-looking man. I don't think anybody would dispute that, even probably his children. But he sitting on the bench, and when it was time come for him to preach, he came up from behind the pulpit. He come right off the bench, and he come up, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, this morning," he said, "when I gave my heart to the Lord, I looked at life through a different set of glasses." And he did it just like that. And that made an impression on a little boy. And I believe that is exactly right. And what Brother Stan talked about this morning, about God changing men, if we don't have that change in our heart, we haven't found the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we still, not that we don't have struggles, right? But God has the power to help us overcome those struggles. And if we don't avail ourselves of that power, aren't we yet in our sins? The power is available. It's up to us to reach out to it. The title of the sermon this morning is A Certain Man and Two Sons. And we're going to go to a familiar story in Luke 15. And we're going to try to unpack this story and see what we can learn from that. Turn to Luke. And we're going to start reading at verse 11. Luke 15, and we have three segments of people here that are represented in this story that Jesus told. We have a certain man, Jesus says, and we have the older son, and we have the younger son. And there is things that we need to learn from all three of those individuals in this story. And so we want to look at that and see how that applies to us today, how that should apply into our lives today. Look at verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11. He said, "And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Now, if you think about this father, and he had a son, his younger son came to him, and I suppose this was the culmination of a string of events that the father was concerned about. This son came and he said, "I want what you owe me." Right? This is an attitude that doesn't feel right. Who was to blame for this situation coming to this point? Jesus doesn't tell us, right? But we can well recognize that this was probably a culmination of a string of events that led up to this son becoming bold enough to go to his father one day and say, "Give me what you owe me. Give me my part of this. I want it. I want to do what I want to do. I don't really care how you feel about it." The father, I'm sure, knew this wasn't going to end well, but what did he do? Sure enough, verse 13, he says, well, he divided unto them his living. And then verse 13, he says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." I'm sure the father told this son over and over, "You are going down the wrong path. If I give you all of your inheritance today, you're going to go down the wrong path, because you don't have the wisdom. Your heart is not towards God. This isn't going to work out well for you." And so the son, he went into a far country and he started doing his thing, right? But there's one thing that I noticed, and I think is one thing important for us to pay attention to, because of the nature of this father that we see throughout this story, we can well assume he was saddened beyond words by this. But I believe, without a doubt, that there was criteria that needed to be met to live in this home. This father, when this son came to him, he didn't say, "Well, hold on, son. What is there? What's going on that is disturbing you so bad here? Why can't you live in my home? Is there some things, is there some rules that we could nudge? I know you like to get in late. Maybe we'll move the Maybe we'll move the time to 11:30 instead of 10:30 so that make sure that you can live within these rules. Or, you know, maybe you can say some bad words out behind the orchard if nobody else hears you. No, that's not what we find here. The father had stipulations in place. That son decided he wanted to live outside of those stipulations, and so he left, right? He took his inheritance and left. And that's something I think that we need to understand and we need to realize. We need to recognize as we relate to our children. There is it is very sad to me, and I've observed it various times when children grow up in a family and they begin to, for some reason, they begin to buck the church. They begin to buck. They come into the realm. They work up through school. Potentially problems in school. The parents maybe don't handle it correctly, and to help that child understand that he is under the authority of the school teacher at that point. As they come into the youth and into church life, they've missed that, and it's really sad. At some point, often, they will say, you know, this is baloney. I'm done with this. I'm going to over here where they care about me, where they, you know, do things better, and they leave. And unfortunately, it happens. And it's very sad, but the parents will also follow that son away from what the church is standing for. And that is very sad, because if that child ever comes to themselves, like we know this prodigal son did, if he ever comes to himself out there, and the parents have followed him out there, what does that son have to come back to? There's nothing to come back to anymore. Because mom and dad followed me out, I must be right. We'll leave that where it's at. It's not really my subject this morning, but it relates to this, and I think it's important. Now, look at verse 14. And then when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him, not his friends that had taken all his money, not his father, not his brother, not the citizen of that country, no man gave unto him. He was out there feeding the pigs, and nobody cared. Now, I have a question for us this morning. Where was his father at that point? Where was his brother? Where was the church? Isn't this the point that the church should have mobilized and been there for him and said, you know, here, come on, let's help you. You need some help. You're out here feeding pigs. We know you need some help. I want to submit to you this morning that no, this is not the point that the church has stepped in. And let me tell you why. The church is not a nursing home for the unrepentant sinner. The church is a group of people that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have chose to do differently than what their flesh would desire. The church is not here to be a nursing home for you if you do not want to be part of the church. You know, often when people make choices like these and they end up out feeding swine out there and before a citizen that they don't know, they don't care about, then they have a tendency to blame the very people that tried to tell them not to go there. They say, why did they let me do this? Well, they tried to tell you, but that's where you went. Okay. This man probably had thoughts like this at this point. He said, you know, where is my father in my time of need? You know, where's my father? He says he's such a loving father, but where is he? You know, where's my brother? Why aren't they reaching out to me? It's nothing more than a focus on self. When we have thoughts like that, why don't people reach out to me? Why don't they? You know, there's nobody cares about me. That's the devil speaking into your life and trying to get you ostracized from God, ostracized from God's people. Take that focus off of yourself. Give those thoughts to God. And I want to tell you something this morning. Where were his father? Where were his brother? They were right back where he left him. Right back where he left him. The day when he said, you know, I'm going out over here. I'm going out into a far country. They stayed right there. Back on the home farm and continued to do what they knew to be right. He was the one that left. And he ended up in the pig field. You know, we take our journey into a far country sometimes because we know that if we stay on the home farm, those that are there are not going to approve of how we're spending our inheritance. We need to go somewhere else to be able to do this riotous living, right? And so our proximity to help is limited because, not because my father and my brother have moved, but because I have moved. And you know, in Acts 26, Paul says this, and it ties in a unique way. But he said, he was talking to the governor or to the king there, and he said, you can know about this. You can know about the gospel. He said, because these things weren't done in a corner. And what I want to take from that, the thought I want to pull out of that is that when you're doing what is right, you don't have to go into a far country. You don't have to do things in secret. The times that we do things in secret is when we're doing what we know we ought not to be. We're spending our inheritance in a way that we know those on the home farm are not going to approve of, right? Now, look at verse 17. And it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, take this verse 17 right here, and forget about the rest of the story. Take this verse 17 and just set it there by itself. Think about this a little bit. Think about a neighbor man walking by this citizen's field that has hired this prodigal son. Think about him walking by, and he looks out there, and he sees this big bedraggled man out there taking care of the pigs. And I wonder what's going on with that situation. And so he stops in and he knocks on the citizen's door, and the man comes, and he just had breakfast, you know, and he's still rubbing his eyes a little bit. And he said, hey, what's the deal with the man out there in the pig field? It looks like he's in pretty bad shape. Now remember something. When this prodigal son came to this citizen's house and needed work, he was completely out of money. He still hadn't come to himself, okay? And so his story to this citizen probably sounded just like verse 17 said all by itself. It probably sounded something like this. Here I am, I'm in bad shape. He said, my father is a rich man back over in the country about 100 miles from here, but I'm in bad shape and I need help. My father has bread, plenty of bread to spare, but here I am. Is there anything you can do for me? You know, this young man came from his father's house when he brought his inheritance with him and came and spent it. He just as well knew the way back to his father's house when he was in great need. He knew how to get back there probably better than how he knew how to get to this citizen's house, but he wasn't at that point yet. He hadn't quite got to that point that he was ready to walk back to his father and say what he did at the end of this story. See? And so he still ended up in the pig pasture. He still needed some more. He still needed some more nudging by God. He still needed some help to come to himself, right? And so the story that this neighbor man heard from this citizen was probably the verse 17 here, set by itself, with all these surrounding facts to bring it into perspective. It was probably just the, you know, that man's in poor shape because his father kicked him out. He wouldn't allow him to live at home. He has plenty to spare, but he won't give him anything. Right? Situations like this, I want us to be careful or to think through this, but situations like this, and especially these things that can be this way, portrayed like this, can be portrayed almost exactly opposite of how they actually are by a person that has not come to themselves. Okay, it's important that we understand that because there can be a lot of damage done in a group of brotherhood when somebody has not come to themselves and portrays the Father in this light. And so this man said, this prodigal son, he's sitting out there in the field, and it says, when he came to himself, he said, began to think about what his father had to offer. And he was sitting there thinking, you know, he has plenty to spare. He said, I will rise and go to my father. And he said, I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. What made the difference in this man's outlook? It was repentance, right? Amen. Just simple repentance. Just this simple thing. Father, I've sinned. Okay, I did wrong. I took my inheritance and I went over here and I did wrong with it. Okay. And I want to tell you, unless you and I come to that point too, we're going to stand at the back of the church doors and we're going to peer in and we're going to say, look at the servants getting all the blessings in there. I'm a son. They won't let me in there, but the servants are getting them. The lowly servants in there getting all the blessings. And that's where we'll end up too. You know, sometimes we want to sit up in the grandstands and we want to throw rocks. You know what Paul said? He said, so run that ye may obtain. He said, get down there with the runners. If you want to win the prize, go ahead and run. Don't sit up in the grandstands and throw rocks at everybody and tell them how they're doing it wrong. Go down there and show them how to do it. If you've got better ideas, then go do it, right? Join down in there and do it with the rest of them. And so often people want to focus solely on their relationship with God. They say, you know, God told me this. And they want to push aside the brotherhood and push the church aside. And then when they're sitting in the pig pen, then why isn't the church there? Right? Do you get the point? Do you want benefits from the church? Then be a benefit to the church. Be a benefit to the body of Christ. Do you want to be served? Then be a servant. Don't always wait till the other person reaches out to you. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, something that pertained to this. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give under your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so we forget that sometimes, don't we? We measure it out pretty small if we're not careful as we give in relation to brotherhood and the church. And then we're surprised when we're disgusted and we're aggravated when people don't heap it back on us, you know. We need some help here. Well, have I given enough energy into the system that there's anything to take out, right? We've already read these verses, but I want to read them again. Verses 18 and 19 again, it says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. I hope you recognize in that the signs of true repentance. This man came back with an attitude of humbleness. He was no longer the man that had left. He didn't have answers for his father about how he should run the home farm differently now. He came back and he said, you know, I did this. I went away from this system. I went away from the farm. I went away from what I knew to be right. And is there any way that I can just come back as a servant? Is there any way that I can just fit into this structure that you have going on there and just be a help? And just hopefully have enough food for day to day so I don't have to sit out in the pig pasture and feed pigs just so I can eat. This man wasn't calling the shots anymore. He wasn't the same man that had demanded his share of the inheritance. He saw himself as he was, and he was now willing to be just a simple servant under one condition, if only his father would receive him back. And you know, the original, I understand, the original story. The Jews knew this story, and Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi with authority, and that meant that he had the authority to change this scripture. And they knew that he changed this ending. When he was telling the original story was this: is that when this son came back, he did this. He took his inheritance and went away. And when he came back and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And he said, I'd like to come back as a servant. And the father said, no, you've messed up. You're done. Leave. You have no more part in this inheritance. That's what the original Jewish story said. And that's the listeners knew that. And Jesus come along and he was trying to teach them something, right? And he said, and he changed this ending. And they understood that. They understood that this was a changed ending. This is different. That was part of what Jesus was trying to teach here. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And guess what? The ironic part of this was, even when he was there, and as a son, and he didn't realize it probably, but he wasn't worthy to be called a son at that point either. You know, he wasn't worthy to be called a son until he came back as a servant, right? Ironically, the rights of sonship are not ours until we're ready to be a servant. It's ironic to us. It doesn't make sense in our head, but that's the way our God works. When we're ready to be a servant, then we can claim the rights of sonship. And that has to be the attitude of each of us as we relate in a brotherhood. My rights and my feelings I lay down for the sake of peace, not at the expense of truth. We never compromise truth, but there's times. There's plenty of places. There's plenty of opportunities that I can lay down my rights, my feelings, so that I can work together as a brotherhood. Verse 20, we find this young man coming back, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Imagine with me this father, as we're reading about this father here, we know, I'd like to think of this, that this father stood out at that front gate where that son had left, and every morning at 6:30, he would go make his coffee, he'd get up, and he would go out, and he would look into the rising sun down the road where that son had left. He'd shield his eyes, and he would look. If perhaps today was the day that his son was going to come back, right? That's the God we serve. He's looking to come. He's looking. He's looking every day. Are you going to come back? And I think that that was probably the case. And where the road curved and went way out, you know, way out there and curved and went out of sight, he'd look out there and he'd say, surely, one of these days my son will come back. It's tough out there. I know it's hard out there. And one of these days his inheritance is going to be gone. He's going to want to come back. I hope he can come back. I hope he has enough strength to make it back. And I think we see in this the attitude that we should individually have, and also as a church, we should have towards those that lose their way. And the desire of a true Christian church of bringing those wayward back into fellowship. But one thing I want to clarify, and I think you understand this by now, but this cannot be accomplished until that wayward son returns. Okay. It cannot be accomplished if that son wants to stay in the far country and continue feeding the pigs. That's not where the home farm is. When that son is willing to come back, that's where this can be accomplished. This to bring them back, to help them move forward in life then. The parameters that this father had put in place before this son left was still in place when he came back. Nothing had changed, right, at the home farm. Verse 20, we see this young son coming back. And as you know, like we just talked about, I'm sure he came back on the same road he left on. That same curve way out there that he had disappeared some years ago, he was at that same spot. When that father looked out there one morning and said, is that my son? I believe that's my son coming back, right there on that curve. And he said he ran out there and fell on him and kissed him. He said, I've been waiting on you. Why did it take so long? You know, it's the exact same spot that we read about in verse 13. Exact same spot. What was the difference? Totally different attitude, right? The exact same spot, yet a totally different response from the father. What made that difference? You know, the difference was, again, was repentance. And the direction of travel, that same road, the same spot. But the direction of travel was obvious. You know, I don't see this young man. He left, he went to that citizen one day, and he said, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of feeding pigs. I want to go back to my father. That father that I came and told you was so cruel and harsh, I see it for what it was now. My father was trying to help me, and I wouldn't listen. I brought my inheritance over here, and I spent it all. But I want to go back to my father. And the citizen says, you need to go back. I'll find somebody else to take care of pigs. And so he heads back. He came to himself, as he was walking along there, I don't imagine that this man was walking along, this prodigal son was walking along in this fashion. He'd probably walk wrong a bit. You know, I think maybe I want to feed pigs still. I'm not sure. There was a little bit to that I kind of enjoyed, but maybe I should go to my father. I don't know, pigs, father. No, that's not how this young man came back. When he came around that curve and the father saw him, I think that man was walking with a purpose. He was headed straight towards that farm, and there wasn't a question which way he was going. Not one question. Okay, that's the sign of true repentance. When we turn our lives away from sin and we go away, that's that we don't keep dabbling in sin a little bit over here because maybe we could just, you know, feed pigs a little bit longer. Maybe we should go to the Father. No, that's not true repentance. We go back and we go to the Father because we're sick and tired of feeding pigs. And we know that the Father can keep us from having to go back and feed pigs. He has the resources to keep us from having to go back and do that. There was no question. Those watching him come, there was which way he was meaning to go. He was coming from a far country and he had a long way to go. Okay, but there wasn't a question. Sure and predictable steps. And so when he rounded that last curve in the road, and the father caught the glimpse, there was not a question whether he had just wandered there by accident. Okay. He looked down the road and he said, that son is returning and he's a different man. And sure enough, when he fell and kissed him and he said, hey, can I come back and just be a servant? Can I just join back and because I'm hungry? I'm empty now. I don't have anything to give anymore. But if I could just be a servant and just try to do my best to help her, would you take me back? And the father said, come back. We're going to get started on the celebration, right? And one thing we need to think about in this road that we're talking about. When there's a prodigal son that walks that road and they're not making sure and predictable steps, obvious signs and clearly repented. And I stand along him and I say, you know, you've been mistreated. There's been some problems. You've had a tough time of it. You know, your father didn't treat you right. And the church, they did some wrong things to you. And there, you know, there's just a lot of problems here. And I can see why you're getting ready to round that curve. And you know, whose fault is that? When that person just continues to walk away and goes out there and feeds pigs. Don't I carry part of the blame if I stand beside that person and suggest those kinds of things? Verses 21 through 24. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here's cause for celebration. The Bible tells us one sinner that repents, the whole heaven erupts with angels rejoicing, right? One sinner that repented. And so the father said, we're going to have a celebration. And the son said, I was just trying to come back as a servant. He said, no, we're going to have a celebration because you left as a son and you came back as a servant. That's what I was trying to tell you before you left. We could have had a celebration a couple years ago. But praise the Lord, you came back. Young man that left with entitled son status and returning as a servant by choice, right? Now, the story isn't over. Look at this. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Whoa. He did what? My father did what? You mean my brother that went out there and spent all his inheritance on riotous living with prostitutes and all the drinking and all the problems that are going on out there, my brother that made that horrible decision? Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Here we find another man that needs repentance. This man, by all appearances, was as faithful as the day is long, we say, right? Verse 25, it says, the elder son was in the field. You knew where to find this man. This man was the first one, when the cows get out in the middle of a rainstorm, he was the first one there to put them back in. And he was the man that kept the front gate on its hinges and the fence painted. He was the man that kept up the place. If there was a piece of trim blew loose, he made sure that that got tacked back up correctly, and the place looked beautiful because of this elder son. He was in the field. He was faithful. He was out there doing what he knew was right, right? You know, this man had also received his inheritance. This older brother had also received his inheritance at the same time. It tells us back in verse 12, it said, he divided unto them his living. This elder son had also received his inheritance at the same time. He was wise, though. He was prudent. He was a good Mennonite. He invested that in the farm. He bought him some cows. He started building up his herd. And by the time this prodigal son come back, he probably owned half the place. He'd done it right. He was a good stable church member. He dressed right. He showed up on Sunday mornings in good time. But when his brother came back, it showed up some obvious things. Another man that needed repentance. Another man that needed to see himself for who he was. Another man that needed to find out what a servant was all about. A man that just by looking at these two people, you would have thought they were on completely different playing fields. You probably didn't even recognize them as brothers. Older son also needed repentance. He hadn't found his place as a servant either. He still considered himself an entitled son because of what? Because of his faithfulness. Because he had been there every day through thick and thin. I deserve to be a son. I deserve half of the inheritance. I deserved my part. My younger son, well, we don't really want to talk about what happened, what my younger son did. You know, obviously, there was even the reason there was a fatted calf there for to be ready to slaughter is because he was faithful, because he was there feeding that fatted calf day in and day out. He had no idea it was going to be slaughtered when his younger son came home. That upset him. He was doing all the right things, but it was only for his own benefit and not with a true servant heart. And it showed up very quickly when his brother returned. He said, he told his father, you never even gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. And I wonder what the father thought. He probably thought, you know, if you wouldn't be so tied up in making sure everything was so right, I could have given you a kid. I tried a couple times, but you wouldn't take it because you had to make sure everything was done right out on the farm. You could have left that fence the other evening. I offered you a kid. You could have went and had a party. Maybe party isn't the right word in this setting, right? But you could have went out and had a feast with your friends, had a good time. But you just refused it because you were so busy being faithful. You were so busy doing everything right that you missed the value of it. You know, he felt like the resources of the church that he had helped build were being used to reward unfaithfulness. It was just a big waste. Took the fatted calf, the one that the fatted calf was reserved for special guests, and we just slaughtered it and just had a big party for this wayward son. One thing he forgot. He forgot the whole time that he was out there being so faithful. He forgot that every morning at 6:30, his father got up and made his coffee and went out to the gate and looked down the road. He forgot his father did that. He never took the time to get up with his father and go out there and stand with his father and say, I sure wish my younger son would come back. Can we pray for him, Father? Can we pray for my younger son that he comes back? He never took the time. He was too busy being faithful. Too busy doing all the right things and keeping the farm up to snuff. It almost seemed like he was maybe just a touch disappointed when his son arrived, or when his younger brother arrived back home. Almost disappointed when he saw that his younger brother had come back to a place that he could receive help. Verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. But it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's kneel for prayer.